전 한다세에 대해
Mayamana Vapriya
Maitreya Vacha.
The great sage Maitreya continued to speak.
The great sage Maitreya continued to
speak.
Krito
King Krito
of
King
Krito
that
Suktam
Suktam
Vedic conclusion
Vedic conclusion
Akarnya
Akarnya
hearing
Sara
Sara
very substantial
Sushtu
Sushtu
appropriate
Tam
Minimize.
Madhu.
Sweet to hear.
Sweet to hear.
Smayaman.
Smiling.
Smiling.
Eva.
Like.
Pritya.
Pritya.
Out of great satisfaction.
Out of great satisfaction.
Kumara.
Celibate.
Pratyuvacha.
Pratyuvacha.
Reply.
Reply.
Ha.
Thus.
Translation, the great sage Maitreya continued thus, not Kumara, the best of the celibates, after hearing the speech of Prithu Maharaj, which is meaningful. Appropriate, full of precise words and very sweet to hear, smiled with full satisfaction and began to speak as follows. Purport, Prithu Maharaj is awesome, Kumara is very laudable because of so many qualifications. The speech should be composed of selected words. Very sweet to hear and appropriate to the situation. Such speech is called meaningful. All these good qualifications are present in Prithu Maharaj's speech because he was a perfect devotee. It is said, Yasasti Bhakti or Bhagavata Kinchana Samayagai Saktra Samasate Sura. For one who has unflinching devotional faith in the Supreme Personality of God and has engaged in his service, all good qualities become manifest in his person. Thus, the Kumaras are very much pleased, and Sanat Kumara began to speak as follows. Sanat Kumara said, my dear King Krito, I am very nicely questioned by you. Such questions are beneficial for all living entities, especially because they are raised by you, who are always thinking of the good of others. Although you know everything, you ask such questions because that is the behavior of sanctified persons. Such intelligence befitting your position. Purport, Maharaj Krito was well conversant in transcendental science, yet he addressed himself before the Kumaras as one ignorant of it. The idea is that even if a person is very exalted, knows everything before his superior, he should present questions. For instance, although Arjuna knew all the transcendental science, he questioned Krishna as if he did not know. Similarly, Krishna Maharaj knew everything, but he presented himself before the Kumaras as if he did not know anything. The idea is that questions by exalted persons put before the Supreme Personality of God or the devotee are meant for the benefit of the general people. Therefore, sometimes great personalities put themselves in that position and inquire from a higher authority because they're always thinking of the benefit of others. When there is a congregation of devotees, their discussions, questions, and answers become conclusive to both the speaker and the audience. And thus, such a meeting is beneficial for everyone's happiness. Purport, hearing discussions among the devotees is all the means to receive the powerful message of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For instance, Bhagavad Gita has been well known all over the world for a very long time, especially in the Western world. But because the subject matter was not discussed by devotees, there was no effect. Not a single person in the West became Krishna conscious before the Krishna consciousness movement was founded. But when the same Bhagavad Gita was presented as it is through the disciplic succession, the effect of spiritual realization was immediately manifested. Sanat Kumara, one of the Kumaras, informed Prithu Maharaj that his meeting with the Kumaras benefited not only Maharaj Prithu, but the Kumaras as well. When Narada Muni questioned Lord Brahma about the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Brahma thanked Narada Muni for giving him a chance to speak about the Supreme Lord. Therefore, questions put by a sainted person to another sainted person about the Supreme Personality of Godhead or about the ultimate goal of life surcharge everything spiritually. Whoever takes advantage of such discussions is benefited both in this life and in the next. The word ubayesham can be described in many ways. Generally, there are two classes of men, the materialists and the transcendentalists. By hearing discussions between devotees, both the materialists and the transcendentalists are benefited. The materialist is benefited by association with devotees because his life and becomes regulated so that his chance of becoming a devotee or making a present life successful or understanding the real position of the living entity is increased. When one takes advantage of this opportunity, he is assured of the human form of life in the next birth, or he may be liberated completely and go back home back to Godhead. The conclusion is that if one participates in the discussion of devotees, he is both materially and spiritually benefited. The speaker and the audience are both benefited and the Congress and Gandhi's are benefited. The discussion of spiritual matters among devotees is beneficial for everyone without exception. Consequently, the Kumaras admitted that not only was the king benefited by such a meeting, but the Kumaras were as well. The great sage Maitreya continued, thus Anand Kumar, the best of the celibates, after hearing the speech of Guru Maharaj, which is meaningful, appropriate, full of precise words, and very sweet to hear, smiled with full satisfaction and began to speak as follows. Anand Kumar said, my dear King Prithivan, very nice to question by you. Such questions are beneficial for all living entities, especially because they are raised by you. For I was thinking of the good of others. Although you know everything, you ask such questions because that is the behavior of saintly persons. Such intelligence is befitting your position. When there is a congregation of devotees, their discussions, questions, and answers become conclusive. The both the speaker and the audience. Thus, such a meeting is beneficial for everyone's real happiness. So this is a glorification of the process of hearing. We see that Prithu Maharaj asked questions after praising the Kumaras, and now Anand Kumar begins to answer. We'll see that the question and answer format is quite famous. We'll see the Bhagavad Gita, for instance. Arjuna asks questions and Krishna answers, and the whole Bhagavad Gita is basically Krishna's answers. And the Bhagavatam itself, we'll see, begins with discussion between Suta Goswami and Sage Narayana Saranya. Then he begins to speak about the conversation of Parikshit Maharaj and Sukadeva Goswami. So the Bhagavatam is in the context of that. Parikshit asks questions and Sukadeva answers. So the whole Bhagavatam is like that. And then within that, we'll get another series of questions. We'll have Vidura asking questions to Maitreya. We'll have someone asking questions to Narada Muni, or Uddhava asking questions to Krishna. So we'll find various question and answer dialogues going on, by which we'll get some spiritual knowledge. So the purport of all of that is that the topics, spiritual topics, are conveyed through questions and answers. In other words, one person speaks and delivers the message, and that is the truth. And so, in this way, the whole Bhagavatam is composed of hearing from some authority. And so there's the authority of Sutta, and there's the authority of Sukadeva, the authority of Narada Muni, etc. All in this format. And somebody hears. So the sages of Naimisaranya here, or Parikshit hears, or Uddhava hears, or Krishna, etc. So in this way, the idea of the speaker and the audience is quite well founded and illustrated by Bhagavatam. And so in this case, we have Kumaras and Prithu. As in the case of Krishna and Arjuna, or Krishna and Uddhava, etc., or even Sukadeva and Parikshit, they're all very exalted devotees, so they're not, the questioner is not ignorant, actually. But they ask these questions for several reasons. One is, of course, for the benefit of everybody. So for the benefit of the people at Kurukshetra and all the future people, Krishna spoke and Arjuna asked questions. Or in the Bhagavatam, Parikshit asks questions and Sukadeva answers, and this gives benefit to all the people present, and of course the people in the future as well. So that is one thing. The other is that even though the questioner may know the answer, as in the case of Prithu or Uddhava, Arjuna, there are interested in devotees, still, they ask the question because not simply for other people's benefit, but they derive pleasure from hearing topics of the Supreme Lord. This is a symptom of a devotee, that he likes to hear about the activities of the Supreme Lord. So in other words, the process of sravana is very attractive to the great devotees of the Lord. So that's one reason that people like to hear. The other reason, of course, is the speaker likes to speak. So that is the kirtan. So Sukadev wanted to glorify the Lord. For him, this is also a type of devotional service. That is one of the bhakti, kirtan. So the great devotees are always absorbed in kirtan. Narada Muni is always absorbed in kirtan. So when they have an appropriate audience, they are enthusiastic to speak and glorify the Supreme Lord. So in other words, the reason for the talk is because these devotees are absorbed in serving the Lord through sravana and kirtana. They like to glorify, they like to hear. It says in the Bhagavatam how Parikshit says, now that I'm absorbed in the topics of Krishna, I don't have any desire to drink or eat or anything. Why? Because I'm drinking the topics of Krishna, which are so sweet and satisfying and nourishing that I don't need any other nourishment. So in other words, he's completely absorbed in the process of hearing, and he derives great bliss from that. So devotees in perfection, even if they are perfect, don't do this as sadhana. They do this as an eternal process of bhakti, just as in the spiritual world, devotees will be serving the Lord in different ways. So one of the ways in which they serve is by hearing, another way is by chanting. These are services in the spiritual world. So they are also, of course, sadhana. So perfect devotees, or even avatars of the Lord, such as Prithu, can be involved in this, and there's no contradiction. These are processes of bhakti, and they are eternal. So, therefore, we'll see the great devotees of the Lord involved in these questions and answers because they get great pleasure from this process. So, in this way, the presentation of conversations is something which is relishable by both parties, that is, the speaker and the audience. So in this case we have Prithu and Kumaras, and he's asking questions to them. And of course, then beyond that, because of the nature of the relationship, the speaker becomes enthusiastic to speak if the hearer is qualified. Because of that, he will communicate very high and confidential topics. And then other people who are hearing will also get the benefit of that. As in the case of the assembly of Pariksit Maharaj, everyone got the benefit because Sukadev spoke, and he was enthusiastically speaking to Pariksit because he understood Pariksit's great taste, so therefore he revealed so much in Bhagavatam. And everybody else there got the benefit of it. So the hearer benefits, the speaker benefits, and the other people present also benefit. And because this is scripture and recorded and passed down, then everybody in the future also gets the benefit. So in this way there is a benefit for everyone in these discussions. So the Sanat Kumar therefore praises this type of dialogue because it is giving great benefit to everyone. So the benefit to the people in the material world is it helps sadhana. Hearing and chanting is a process of sadhana. It is beneficial for the perfected devotees and the jasidas because it increases their prema. They don't do sadhana because they're already perfect, but discussing about the Lord and hearing about the Lord is a method of increasing their frame for the Supreme Lord. So that's the benefit that they get from that. So how is it possible that the great devotees already know about Krishna and they hear the same topics again? How is it that they relish them? And the reason is that the experience of the Supreme Lord is new. It is nama, nava nava. It is continually fresh. And so every time the great devotees hear about the Lord, even if it's the same Lord and the same topic, it is ever fresh. They get a new experience from it, a bliss. So that is the nature of Krishna and his paraphernalia and his devotees. Everything is continually fresh. So they're always inspired by these topics. They're ever, ever new. Here we have the question was by Prithu was very simple. How do we benefit the people in the material world who are covered with ignorance? What do we do for them? So the question is simple, but then of course we can give a simple answer, a more complicated answer, depending on which approach we take. So ultimately, of course, the best thing is what is described at the very beginning of the Bible, and that's the conclusion. You hear about the Supreme Lord. That is the benefit of everybody. That is how they get deliverance in Kali Yuga. But then we have indirect methods also, or favorable methods which help this process, such as attachment to the material world, control of the senses, and so many other things. So those are subsidiary. So the main process is that the answer is that bhakti is the process, and then we have other actions which are favorable to that. So this makes it a little bit more complex, but nevertheless the final answer is very, very simple. Well, we find the example in the assembly of Parikshit. Some people were different qualifications. There were Jnanis there, and Karmas there, and Yogis there, and Devotees there. So, some topics were too high for many people, so they cannot understand them. So Sukadeva spoke in such a way that they cannot actually understand that topic, and they get a different meaning. So, some things are hidden. But those who are devotees will understand the real meaning, and they will see that there's some contradiction if we take the superficial meaning. So in other words, Sukadeva spoke in such a way for both types of people. Some will get the real meaning and some will get another meaning.
We are saying that between the divine Lord Brahma and the equal level with Vishnu,
That is karma yoga. This is the first process that Krishna mentions, and then he says, you're unqualified for jnana, you do karma yoga. But then later he says, give up the worship of devatas in chapter 9, except the worship of me. So in other words, we cannot take the third chapter as authoritative. There's only one step in a process, and higher than karma yoga is jnana, and higher than jnana is yoga, and higher than yoga is bhakti. Well, that is not submissive hearing or questioning. Real questions are questions to actually understand something and get knowledge, not simply to see if somebody else has knowledge, but rather you need knowledge. So in that way, there's no benefit from that. Well, ultimately, bhakti includes everything. So just as in the second canto says, whether you have all desires or no desires, or desire for liberation, worship the Supreme Lord. So everything is included in the worship of the Lord. So whatever is required for material things is also there within bhakti.
Liberation is also considered a state of service for that. Liberation is also considered to be a state of service for that.
In a status of?
State of service to the Lord.
No.
Это не липчатый.